This is Twit.
And boy, this story right off the top is kind of crazy. It's actually a good thing that it didn't end up a whole lot worse than it possibly could have. Because I feel like when we talk about hacking threats and everything, this is like to some degree worst case scenario, right? Often the threat of hackers has to do with our data. But there's an even more impactful threat of bodily harm, potentially, if hackers have access to the right kinds of systems and they have the ill intent to do something with that access. Things like water systems, for example. That's exactly what happened in Oldsmar, Florida. And like I said, thankfully, no one was hurt. But it's easy to see how this could have ended differently. And hopefully a whole lot of lessons are being learned right now. Joining us to talk about this incident is Lorenzo Franceschi Bicchiarai from Vice. Welcome back to the show, Lorenzo. It's been a while.
Hi, Jason. Happy to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you back. And you're the perfect person to talk about this story, which I feel like, you know, I've been hearing about all week. So I'm happy to get you on to kind of break it down. So let's start off, I suppose, with the kind of access that this hacker was able to gain with the water supply. And actually, I was just reading before the show, Verge put out an article that said, we're calling this a hack, but it's not even really a hack because the systems were so poorly implemented to protect against it. But what kind of access did they have? What was the potential that could have happened here?
Yeah, so in this case, the hacker was able to break into a water system by using TeamViewer, the control system that allowed the employees of the water treatment plant to, regulate chemical levels and keep an eye on the functioning of the water system, was connected to the internet via TeamViewer, which is, a program that I'm sure a lot of viewers are familiar with. A lot of people use it to sort of do remote tech support with their families or parents or friends, and it's used by companies as well. We don't know how the hacker was able to gain access to TeamViewer, but somehow they did. And what they did was that they clicked around, fiddled with the controls of the water treatment plant. And finally, what they changed was the levels of sodium hydroxide. So normally they are like 100 particles per million. They bumped it up to 11,100 particles per million.
Wow. Okay. All right. So what is the direct threat there? For those who don't know, water treatment plants, how this interacts with water, it's there for a reason. What could happen to a human being at that level if it actually was able to matriculate through the system?
Yes. So the local authorities did a press conference in which they were actually very cautious and very accurate and technically very accurate about what could have happened. But in theory, those levels of sodium hydroxide could be poisonous. Like that would have been disastrous if the levels would have actually been changed and the water with those levels would have gone out to homes in Oldsmar. And but what happened is a technician was monitoring the system and essentially caught it right away. I think the hacker was there for the authorities said 3 to 5 minutes. The technician changed the levels immediately. And it's important to note that even if the levels had not been changed back to the normal levels, according to the mayor, the system is designed to check water levels throughout the whole process. So what the mayor claimed is that poisoned water would never have gotten to actual citizens and consumers.
Okay,
but, potentially, I think,
back.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think what people have, the reason this story has caught so much attention and is that, it's a really good reminder that so much infrastructure around us is connected to the internet and sometimes is not secured very well. And there's hackers out there who are trying to take advantage of this.
Yeah, not secured very well, indeed. And especially, when you take those two things independently, it's a bad situation. When you put them together and you're talking about critical, infrastructure that drives the health and safety of a town combined with inept kind of security models. I mean, from what it sounds like, you know, it was the standard default password that was implemented here. There were a number of different ways, like I said, that the door was kind of left wide open for this person. Does it seem like, I realize this person only had access for a couple of minutes, but in a couple of minutes, this hacker was able to go pretty much to the point of, you know, the point of direct impact that would make the biggest impact and control it. Is there any indication that this person was aware of what the of how to run these systems prior to accessing them, or literally just kind of fumbling their way around and happened to get lucky with, oh, wait a minute, here's the big one?
Yeah, so we don't know much about what the hacker did prior to changing those levels. My guess is that since they changed, you know, the level of the sodium hydroxide, they probably knew what they were doing, in the sense that they at least understood that that was a potentially dangerous level to change. What I think it's also interesting here is that this attack was not very subtle. The person who caught the attack talked about looking at the mouse moving on his computer, you know, on the computer where he was monitoring the system. So whoever did this was not very subtle, which is good news. but I guess the bad news is that the next time, if, you know, a real hacking group, like a real professional hacking group, like Russian government hackers, they may be better at not getting caught.
Well, yeah, and also just the sheer fact that this was done at the time of day at which it was done. I don't know how these systems are protected. You know, when it comes to human bodies monitoring the systems, is there always someone there watching the screen to see the mouse moving on the screen? You know, but this happened right in the bright of daylight, from what I understand. So, you know, maybe a more competent, let's say, hacking group might choose a time when they're pretty certain that there's less direct monitoring happening in that point. But again, there's the fallback systems that would have protected, and that's at least a little bit better, a little bit better than just having this one switch that would need to be flipped in order to harm people. What could this this location have done to better protect its system? I mean, obviously they had a default password. They're using TeamViewer. I guess I'm unaware as far as like how exactly TeamViewer was used in the scope of this particular hack, and how could they improve their behavior and how they use these systems to protect against it.
Yeah, so as far as we know, TeamViewer here was used essentially to give full access to the machine, to the computer that was controlling the water plant. So by breaking into this TeamViewer instance, the hacker essentially was, you know, behind the keyboard. They had complete access like any other employee working at the facility, which is bad. Yesterday we spoke with a bunch of critical infrastructure security experts and asked them, what do you think of this? Is it, first of all, is it normal to have TeamViewer installed on a system like this? And yeah, also, what else, you know, what's the ideal setup? And unfortunately, they said that TeamViewer is actually very common in critical infrastructure, not because it's the right way to do it, but because a lot of, you know, a lot of small water plant, like the one in Oldsmar, they don't have a lot of technical employees. They don't have information security professionals. They may have IT people, but probably they outsource that. So TeamViewer is sort of like a very easy way to have this functionality, this remote control functionality. And sometimes vendors install it automatically. As far as like what's the ideal, you know, they could have done several different things. Like the experts we spoke with recommended having, first of all, a VPN as a first step, you know, protected by a password and multi-factor authentication, which, you know, basically cuts out any kind of phishing and makes weak passwords not as important. And then have different layers. So the VPN goes to the corporate network. Then there's another step with another password and another multi-factor. And then there's a final step to the interface where you can actually interact with the critical infrastructure.
Got it. So this has me wondering how other systems are by comparison. I mean, it's, you know, just talking about the United States alone, there's probably so many similar scenarios or similar areas where there are systems like this that are equally inept, let's say, as far as protection is concerned. How can the people that control these systems be held to task for ensuring that they're protected appropriately? Because in some degree, it just seems like the ball was dropped as far as that's concerned with something so critical like this.
Yeah, I think that probably better training at the level of, utilities like water utilities, electrical utilities could help. Perhaps there's some regulation here. You know, maybe the federal government can step in and require certain standards when it comes to remote access to critical infrastructure. And also maybe more responsible vendors, you know, like if it's true that a lot of vendors in critical infrastructure use TeamViewer as a default, then maybe we need to, you know, someone needs to talk to those vendors and say, hey, you know, this is not appropriate. There's a lot of sensitive systems behind TeamViewer, and that should not be the case.
Yeah, indeed. It definitely should not. And hopefully this is one of very few, if not the last time we hear of something like this, although it's hard to think that we won't hear something quite like this. And let's hope that the next time this happens, it's equally as ineffective, because I think in some ways it's good that it happened this way. If it was going to happen, it's good that it happened this way, because it at least alerts people to the possibilities and to the potential danger and possibly how easy this sort of thing could be for the right person who's very determined and understands the system even better than this particular hacker or hackers had on this. The hacker has not been identified at this point. Is that right?
Yeah, the investigation is ongoing. The police said that they have some leads, but they didn't want to say too much. Yeah. If they haven't been careful, we'll find out. I think we'll soon find out who they were.